Hello, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the NAREIT podcast. I'm Alan Kenny, editorial director with NAREIT. Joining me today is David Funk, director of the Baker Program in Real Estate at Cornell University, to talk about his latest work arguing that real estate is the fourth major asset class. Let's go ahead and welcome him on. David, how are you doing today?
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for inviting me on, Alan.
Happy to have you on. So I was hoping we could just kind of start out. Maybe you could give us just the broad strokes of your argument for real estate as the fourth major asset class.
Well, what we did in our research, and Cornell partners with Hodes Weil, a boutique advisory firm, and what we looked at were institutional allocations to real estate, and we've tracked this over the last 3 years. We're out with our third annual survey right now. And what we found is that institutions were targeting 9.62% of their portfolios to real estate. And, you know, this has been a steady increase over the last 25 years. You know, really, you go back 25, 30 years, and, you know, you look at about 2% of portfolios going to alternatives. And 9.62 is approaching 10%, and that really argues that real estate has kind of made it as the fourth mature asset class within institutional portfolios.
And do you consider this an international truism, or are we only talking about the United States here?
Well, the fascinating finding is that when we looked at North America, Asia, Pacific, and Europe, North America actually lags in terms of global appetite for real estate. In fact, if you look at target allocations, Asia Pacific is the most aggressive in terms of allocating to real estate, above 10% within their targeted portfolios. Now, you know, there is a little bit of a catch-up, you know, in terms of what the target allocation is and what actual investments are. So kind of the largest lag in terms of investment is Asia-Pacific. You know, actual investments are in the 8% range, but with a target over 10, it means that a lot of money is going to be flowing from Asia-Pacific into real estate globally. And interestingly, also, North America, specifically the United States, is the destination for global capital. 80% of all institutions worldwide have U.S. real estate in their portfolio.
Talking with David Funk of Cornell University. So, what have been some of the major factors supporting the growth in real estate investment?
You know, it's fascinating if you kind of look at a timeline, and what I took was, you know, what I felt were 10 key milestones, and it goes all the way back to the 1960s when some of the insurance companies, Wachovia and Prudential, put their toes into real estate. ERISA was a watershed event in 1972. NCREIF in 1982, where it launched the index, provided a critical institutional benchmark for folks looking at returns and gave institutions the ability to do comparisons. 1986 tax reform, I think, really evened the playing field for tax-exempt investors. Sam Zell coming along in 1988 with the fund was another watershed event. And the fund structures demonstrated the returns that were available through real estate and kind of were proof positive this asset class was for real. But I think in terms of the REIT market, you know, a lot of people point to 1992, constraint in the lending markets, and, you know, 1992 kind of being the birth of the modern REIT era really provided options and access for institutional investment into real estate. I also feel that in the early 2000s, folks like CoStar, Real Capital Analytics, provided transparency into the market, you know, again, lending a tool to institutional investors to better understand the asset class. Recently, you know, the emergence of sovereign wealth funds and kind of the further explosion of capital flows, you know, to that, you know, approaching the 10% factor is kind of how we've arrived at this point. But there's a lot of people in the industry that remember 25 years ago where real estate was a true alternative and, you know, going from 2% to 10% in 25 years is really quite something. Now, you know, when we look at 10%, you know, that's impressive, although there are some folks out there that are believing that 15 to 20% will actually be where real estate settles in.
And then looking ahead, maybe the biggest story in the real estate industry in the last year or so has been the announcement that real estate will be added as a separate sector in in GICS. Can you give us an idea, what do you see that doing to real estate investment going forward?
Well, you know, on a very simple level, real estate has been taken out as a subsector of finance and now is the 11th sector tracked by the Global Industry Classification System. You know, I'm not sure a lot of people caught that news, but what it means is that, you know, in the front page of the newspapers and in the media, real estate's going to be tracked, and it's just going to be more focus, more attention on real estate, and I think it will further reinforce the idea that, you know, real estate is that fourth asset class, and it has matured as an asset class. And by the way, you know, when you talk about fourth asset class, you know, what are the other areas? Well, it's equities, cash, and fixed income. And what we've really seen over these 25 years is, you know, the real estate taking from cash within portfolios. And then as I talk about real estate, keep in mind that a lot of institutions will separate out real assets from real estate. And so not only has real estate been growing as a part of portfolios, but we've also seen dramatic growth in terms of real assets, things like timber, gas and oil, infrastructure, and that sort of thing.
All right. So, David, then what does that really mean in terms of real numbers when the target allocations are increasing that way?
Well, if you look at the change over the last 2 years, you know, the actual investments 2 years ago compared to the target investment of 9.62 for 2014, we use 70 trillion as the global AUM within institutions, and you apply 112 basis points to that, and that is $784 billion of new capital coming into real estate. Kind of a staggering number, you know, above and beyond what institutions have had allocated to real estate previously. If you look at just the United States, we're estimating that that's $450 billion in new capital chasing U.S. real estate. You know, truly a tsunami of capital that is aligning at the gates.
All right. Well, David, I really appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Alan. It was a pleasure.
And thank you all for joining us, too. For the NAREIT podcast, I'm Alan Kenny.